talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct. Coming to you in statewide on civic media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Go right to the front lines, history in the making. Happy New Year, everybody. Fresh start, 2003. I want to start here in Wisconsin. Robin Voss, the speaker of a gerrymandered Republican caucus, illegitimate, wouldn't win in a 50-50 fair maps district, but he's the speaker because the other gerrymandered Republicans voted for him. He came out with probably the most weaselly statement I've heard from him in a long, long time. He was asked if he would support Trump in 2024, and he wanted to have it both ways as usual. Say that he doesn't, but he really does. So here's what he said. Quote, "I've always voted Republican, but I will try very hard to make sure Trump is not our nominee. Trump has done a lot of good things, but he talks about the past." Now, what does that mean? Here is a guy who hired Gableman for more than $1 million in taxpayer money. That's your money and my money, our taxes, to chase a fake fraud suit that turned up nothing that he did to suck up to Trump. He flew down to Mar-a-Lago to kneel before Trump. Another Republican senator, hoping that Trump wouldn't interfere in their caucus, said that he wears socks with Trump's picture on it. And he said, "You are Thor's hammer, and I am but a bobby pin." These are the most servile, weird people. And they're the ones in the majority, almost a veto-proof majority. And unless we take Alberta Darling's seat back, the Senate will be veto-proof, not the Assembly. These clowns, for all their efforts, Trump endorsed Voss's opponent, a guy named Adam Steen. Now, Adam Steen has no business running for anything. Guy was in his 20s, totally unprepared, has no ability whatsoever, no experience, and he almost beat Voss. He came within a fairly few votes of beating Voss. So Voss wants to retaliate against Trump, but he's afraid to retaliate against Trump. Most people who are speakers, if somebody ran against them, would retaliate against the people who supported that guy and would definitely not support him for president. But not Voss. Yeah, you got to listen to these words. Quote, when he was asked if he would support Trump in 2024, quote, "I always vote Republican, so I'll try hard to make sure that Trump is not our nominee, but he's done a lot of good things. But he talks about the past." That is as weaselly and servile as anything I've ever heard. What it says to me, it clearly says to me, is that he won't fight very hard against Trump because he almost lost the last election when Trump endorsed his opponent. And if at Fiserv 4, remember something, that convention will be here in Milwaukee, right downtown. And Voss will be sitting there with the Wisconsin delegation. And if Trump's the nominee, he'll be jumping up with pom-poms. Rah, rah, ree, kick him in the knee. Rah, rah, ras, kick him in the other knee. That kind of thing. This is servile and weird. This is a servile, weird party. You know, a guy that knifed through it and saw that is Mark Belling. Now, Mark Belling is a guy, by way of disclosure, for many years, I was a panelist on his Sunday TV show. He's a very conservative Republican. I'm a Democrat. He'd have two Democrats and two Republicans. We'd fight over issues. But one thing I will say about Mark Belling is he calls balls and strikes. He's conservative, but he'll call them against the Republican Party if he thinks he has to. He's not one of these guys that just is ardently just one party. And in this particular case, he attacked Voss. Mark Belling attacked Voss. Mark Belling said that the grassroots of the Republican Party want Voss out of there. They want him out. And that's because you have a guy who Trump can't stand. Even so, to try to suck up to Trump, he grabs a million bucks out of taxpayer money. Here's a separate issue. Why can the majority party use our tax dollars as a piggy bank, as a slush fund, for political purposes? What, they just have it lying around? This doesn't require some sort of vote of the legislature that the governor can veto? Apparently not. Apparently not. The way the Republicans have it set up with a lame duck, they can just stick their hand in the till, and the Democrats can't and wouldn't, and grab what they want for political purposes. That's not right. Fighting Bob La Follette didn't permit that kind of thing. Pat Lucey didn't. You know, Lee Dreyfus didn't, for that matter. Tommy Thompson didn't. What's going on here? Throws $1 million, doesn't shake Trump. Trump endorses Adam Steen. Adam Steen almost beats him, And then he sucks up again, but he doesn't have the guts to really retaliate. The worm turns eventually, but I'll tell you what, the worm is turning very, very cowardly manner in this case. It's, I always vote Republican. So, subtext, don't worry about me. If Trump's the nominee, I'll support him, even though he went after me. I'll try hard that he's not the nominee, but he did a lot of good things. He does, it's just that he talks about the past. How about stealing classified documents? How about stealing classified documents and nuclear secrets to turn over to Putin? Putin says he's already seen them, to pay off his Russian debt. How about betraying us to Russia? Go, Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today? Wisco Paul.
Happy New Year, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. You know, this all comes back to Michigan, the way they got their government back over there. And I hope Wisconsin could kind of use that. But the first step, and I hate to be redundant on this, is the spring election with Judge Janet. But a little bit, you can answer that question if you'd like. But I want to also know today, what in the heck is going on with Russia? Just what they're doing in Ukraine is just awful, and I don't know if the world's going to stand by and just watch that happen. It's a sad thing. But the Supreme Court, if we don't get that, I'm afraid we're in for more of the same. Thanks, Matt. Have a happy New Year.
Very good points, Paul, as always. Happy New Year to you. I'm going to address both of them, and if I can get them in this segment, I will. If I can, I will kick it over to the next segment. First of all, you hit the nail on the head on the spring election, February 24 primary. The filing deadline is tomorrow, and you are going to know for sure who's running and who isn't. But it looks like there will be several people running, four people actually running for the Supreme Court. One of them, Judge Janet Protasiewicz, Protasiewicz, is who I'm supporting. She is a terrific, terrific prosecutor, firm, tough, and fair. She is the most experienced prosecutor, A, in this race, and B, that in my memory has ever run for the Supreme Court. She did it for well over 20 years. Rapes, murders, everything, fraud, everything. Everything, kidnapping, everything. Secondly, she's a multi-term judge and one of the best. And she has put herself out to run. We're all very glad. Many people urged her to do it. Her main opponent is this Dan Kelly. Dan Kelly is a Trumper. He's a MAGA Trumper. Dan Kelly is for gerrymandering. Janet Protasiewicz is against gerrymandering, and she said, the minute I get on that bench, bring another gerrymander suit. And why is that important? Because there are three Democrats on there already, and they're really quite independent, frankly. They're not partisan Democrats, but they're good. They're very good. With Janet there before, and we wouldn't have gerrymandering anymore. As Wisco Paul said, the way Michigan took back everything was because they got rid of this kind of gerrymandering we have here. As long as you have gerrymandering, you're going to have a Republican legislature, and they are going to pick the presidential electors. They are about, in Moore versus Harper, to receive a pass from the U.S. Supreme Court, which has six Republicans on it out of nine. Remember, there are seven Supreme Court justices in Wisconsin. They're nine federally. They both are called Supreme Court justices. But the one in Washington is the big kahuna. That's the 800-pound gorilla. That takes care of everything, nine of them. The seven in Wisconsin take care of only Wisconsin, but they are subordinate to the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. If that Supreme Court wants to issue what's called a writ of certiorari and review something that our court did. We need another Supreme Court justice. It was a travesty that the Republicans got four of them. Remember something. You can't gerrymander the whole state. You can't gerrymander the whole state. That's why Evers got reelected as governor. Call got reelected as attorney general. That's why Doug LaFollette got reelected as secretary of state. That's why we have a superintendent of public instruction. That is our failsafe. But none of that matters if the Republicans have the legislature through gerrymandering, no fair maps, and then they're close to it. They are very close to a veto. They are very, very close to a veto, to overriding the veto, a veto-proof majority. They have it right now in the state Senate, 20-11, except Alberta Darling dropped out. So they have to hold that seat. That seat will be determined in the April 3rd election also. And if they have a veto-proof majority, they're too shy of that in the assembly. It doesn't matter what Evers does. So this is very serious. We need Janet Protasiewicz on the Supreme Court. Let's boil this down to ducks and bunnies. If you are against gerrymandering, as I am, vote for Janet Protasiewicz. If you are for gerrymandering, vote for Dan Kelly. It's as simple as that. Wisco Paul hit it on the head, and we're going to talk about Ukraine in another segment today. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Let's go. Paul brought up the subject of Ukraine. I want to hit that right now. It's urgent and it's vital. The Russians are committing genocide there. People talk about the war. We have to prove war crimes. The Russians are Nazis. They're savages. They don't deserve their own country. The Russians are simply sending missiles into Ukraine indiscriminately into civilian areas to destroy its entire infrastructure, all of its electrical grid, sewer system, water supply, schools, churches, and hospitals. To make it look like a nuclear weapon got dropped on it and everybody has to live underground like in a science fiction novel, that's what's happening. The Russian savages, inhuman individuals, launched drones and missiles in savagely, and from Christmas on till now, into Kyiv, elsewhere in the country. And one of the drones was shot down. When they recovered it, somebody in Russian, the Russian Nazis, had written on it, "Happy New Year. Happy New Year." And then a drawing of a present, Putin announced that these drones were being sent against military targets. In fact, they were sent against a children's hospital, school, and a church. Putin lies as a matter of course, of course. Earlier in the year, in this genocidal attack, the Ukrainians made the mistake very early on. They thought that the Russians were human, that they were not savages. And they thought, well, if we designate a target, a potential target that has children, for instance, a kindergarten or a school, they'll certainly avoid that. So on one of these facilities, they wrote children. The Ukrainians did, hoping to appeal what they assumed were human beings. The Russians bombed it, killed kids. And in one of the pieces of the wreckage, one of the missiles that apparently didn't explode, somebody had written on it, quote, for the children. They have killed children. They have raped children. They have raped women in front of their husbands and their children. They are savages. The Russian is a savage. Now, what can be done? What should be done? First of all, I'll tell you now what I think can and should be done, and I'll tell you what I think should have been done at the beginning. Biden was constrained because he put together a coalition of NATO and the EU for sanctions and providing weapons to Ukraine that no other president that I know of right now had the experience to do. So he had to be somewhat careful. Because remember something, we are tens of 10,000 miles away. A lot of these people are right next door to Russia. So he didn't put in some kind of restricted airspace, didn't give them airplanes, and initially didn't even give them HIMARS. I think that was a mistake. I would have imposed a no-fly zone right away before the Russians even got into Ukraine. Vladimir Putin is not going to start a nuclear war over a no-fly zone, number one. And number two, if he did, his country would be fried. He knows that, but the West would be fried too, some of it, and we don't want that. But I think a more aggressive stance early would have been great. That didn't happen, so let's talk about what we can do now. Number one, declare Russia a terror state. The Congress has already voted bipartisan to do that, but it's up to Biden. The reason Biden hasn't done it is because there is a requirement in law that if you declare someone a terror state, like North Korea and Iran, if any of your allies trade with them and evade our sanctions, you have to sanction your allies. Well, we don't want to sanction Germany and France. But the EU has now labeled Russia a terror state. It is time that the United States did the same thing. Number two, expel every Ruski from this country. Grab them, throw them in a van, handcuff them, and throw them out of the country. Every one of them. No more tennis players coming in, nobody. No tourists, get out of here. We do not want animals in this country. Third, apply the kind of sanctions we are against Iran and North Korea. The sanctions against Russia leak like a sieve. They're better than nothing, don't get me wrong. But you could put on Iranian and North Korean sanctions and squeeze them. Why are we letting our pharmaceutical companies send pharmaceuticals to Russia? They're bombing kids' hospitals and bombing stores of pharmaceuticals in Ukraine. Number four. And how many times do I have to say them? Give the 180-mile HIMARS, not the 50-mile HIMARS. Ukraine is the size of Texas. You give them missiles that only go 50 miles, give them 180 miles. And give them planes and tanks. The Germans have chickened out and they won't send them tanks. We should send them tanks, the tanks they want. Next, at all times, provide the Ukrainians the coordinates of the locations of Putin and the head of the SS, which is the Wagner Group, the Nazi Wagner Group, the Chechenian Islamist terrorist, and Sergei Lavrov, the sadist who's the Secretary of State, the equivalent of their foreign secretary. Let the Ukrainians and let their allies do the work. Take these people out. Next, confiscate the $300 billion that we have on deposit in our banks and turn over to Ukraine to help rebuild them and pay for their weapons. Finally, instead of impounding yachts of oligarchs, confiscate them and execute the oligarch. Shoot them. How about that? This is a Nazi state. They should be treated the way we treated the Nazis. We're now much stronger. What would you have done if this was Hitler and Goering and Himmler and the rest of them? Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. I'm going to take you in order. I see you. Start with Paul of Monona, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Paul?
Hi. Hey, so I honestly have to say, remember back in the 19, what year was it the Berlin Wall fell?
1989.
Yeah, I was a U.S. service member at the time. And I remember having so much more hope for the Russians than ultimately we've seen play out. But beyond that, so I agree with you on that. Beyond that, I think the drum that we have to beat, as you say, is the Wisconsin Supreme Court election. This is something that has the potential to really roll back all of the issues that we've been fighting so hard against, but honestly, been not as committed as we probably ought to be. And, you know, the idea that we all sort of play by the rules and this and that, when you're dealing with bad players, that is not really, that's not a winning strategy. Not that I would advocate not playing by the rules, but it's the level of commitment that needs to be there long term. The long game. Anyway, that's all I have to say, and thank you for being on the air.
Thank you. Those are terrific comments. I want to build on what Paul just said before we go to our next caller. The Republicans will slime any candidate who survives the primary, slime them just like they did with Mandela Barnes, and try to turn everybody's attention. They are supporting Dan Kelly. Remember something. The thing with Janet Protasiewicz is she is a tough prosecutor, and they're going to have a very hard time sliming her because none of the hacks that they ever put up for office have anywhere near her prosecutorial experience. And she's one of the most experienced judges and the best judges. But keep that in mind. Look what they did to Mandela Barnes. They will do it again, so they can keep gerrymandering. And I got to get back to it again, and I'm going to say it one more time. If you don't like gerrymandering, the way I don't like gerrymandering, it's not fair, it's not a democratic process, vote for Janet Protasiewicz. If you like gerrymandering, you vote for Dan Kelly. It's as simple as that. There is an attack on our democracy that's ongoing, and it is getting behind Dan Kelly. Go back to the lines. Andy of Beaver Dam, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Andy?
Well, just one brief comment about that Supreme Court position. Dan Kelly, of course, never was elected to that position. He won it, was appointed by at the time. And so this guy really has nothing to, you know, nothing to give, you know, to support anything that's worth supporting. The guy's an idiot. And Judge Janet, everybody's got to remember that you got to vote for her because otherwise, you know, we're going to be in the hole yet. As far as Russia's concerned, Matt, you know, in the beginning of the war, it seemed like, you know, I think maybe Putin thought that Ukraine was going to be a pushover like Crimea or something. And then the Ukraine Patriots came out and they really, in the early stages, we're knocking them dead, you know. So then evidently the Russians figured, well, we got to start playing hardball and bomb schools and hospitals and other places. And as a result, all the things you mentioned in the last segment about cutting the Russians off at the leg, you know, the it's way high time to do that, because without it, you know, we're not going to get any leverage against the Russians on this whole situation, because you know, you got to really show them that we're as a world are not going to put up with this. And so, anyway, Happy New Year once again.
Happy New Year, my friend Andy, and thank you for those great comments. And you're absolutely right. We can't stand by and watch another Nazi genocide. The Russians have been cruel and vicious their entire history. And remember, Stalin sided with Hitler in 1940. They had a non-aggression pact to divide up Poland. He was on the side of the Nazis. He was on the side, the Russians. When they liberated the concentration camps, everybody thought that was great. They raped the Jewish women in the concentration camps. The Russians are savages, and they've been savages for the 1,000 years of their history. Thanks very much for calling. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Bill? Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Bill?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I sure can, Bill. Yes, I can. Happy New Year.
Okay. Happy New Year. Anyhow, do you think the Democrats have the spine to tell the Republicans with their fake investigations enough is enough? Or do you think they're just going to roll over, play dead, and let the Republicans run up huge bill, taxpayers' bill? They're going to fund this for these ridiculous, absurd investigations of theirs. What do you think? I'll hang up.
Yeah, Bill, that's a very timely question, because just yesterday, over the weekend, Marjorie Taylor Greene announced what some of their agenda would be. She's now supporting McCarthy, and she speaks for him. And one of them is they are putting on a special subcommittee, listen to this, to investigate the, quote, weaponization of the federal government by Joe Biden. In other words, they're going to attack the FBI and the DOJ for investigating January 6th. Then they have proposed a rule, and Kevin McCarthy's behind this, for the all of the January 6th documents to be turned over to the Republicans, not to the National Archives. The significance of that is, if you turn over the National Archives, you're not going to see it for 50 years. I mean, the Kennedy assassination documents, you still haven't seen most of those. By turning them over to the Republicans, they can destroy some of them. They don't have to account for them. The Republicans cannot be trusted with documents. They are going to investigate the January 6th committee, and they have threatened action against Liz Cheney, Adam Schiff, Kinzinger, and some of the others who are, Liz Cheney and Kinzinger are patriots. They're the dominant patriots of their era. And the final thing was, Marjorie Taylor Greene said, we are going to impeach Joe Biden, and we think we have the votes for that. So stand by. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to go anywhere in the Senate. And I think a lot of Republicans aren't going to vote for some of this stuff. But they have the majority this time. Stand by, Bill. Yes, I think they are going to continue to do it and to waste money. And that's something that we have to keep resisting and keep fighting against. We're going to fight against it on this show. Gina Beauclair, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Good to hear your voice this new year. Glad you're there.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, keeping everybody informed, because this is all of our jobs, everybody listening on this radio station. This is up to us. We need to get out and vote for Judge Protasevich. I hope I said that correctly.
Yep.
You might think of that polka song, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da, then think Protasevich, get out and vote.
That's good. Very good.
We want to save Wisconsin. Get out and vote today. There. How do you like that one, Matt?
That's great, because we don't want gerrymandering, Gene. We don't want gerrymandering. We got to vote for her.
And then, too, is I wanted to bring up something that I thought was, you know, I have no hope for this Republican Party, and I hope people wake up, because this is just disgusting. I mean, not only they can't handle truth, they can't be trusted, they can't handle money. They're a bunch of liars. They even support lying. The people that are voted in when, you know, that one guy lied in New York, and the people are upset about it, but they're okay with it. And then the these negotiations with the guy that wants to be on, you know, to be the head of the Congress, which is really kind of sad.
Kevin McCarthy, yeah, right.
Yeah, and you know what's really sad to me? We were starting to go, I hate to use the word direction, back and forth and in and out or whatever, but we were starting to get normalized in our country. We were starting to work with all of the significant issues that affect our country and even with our neighbors. And now we got these yahoos running the Congress that are just loving chaos and conflict and confusion. And I hope people, for their own families, for their children, for their parents, everybody to pay attention and grab your phone and call your representative when they're acting out, because it's up to us, because nobody's holding them accountable, and it's up to us to hold them accountable. So pay attention to the upcoming elections, because this is on us. We're the only ones that can stop this insanity that has involved our whole country. So anyway, Matt, I've been thinking about that when I saw those yahoos starting up again. I thought, oh my God, we can't go through another year of this. But anyway, thanks a lot, Matt. You give us hope. You have
right.
a good
well,
day.
Thank you for calling in. And I'm going to give you some, I'm going to back up what Gene just said. I'll give you an example. Today, now I'm talking about today, was the first day that, and this is just one example, that out-of-pocket costs for insulin for Medicare patients is $35 a month. Today's the first day because of the Inflation Reduction Act that Biden put through back a few months ago. But remember something. More than half of the insulin patients in this country are not old enough to be in Medicare. And we are talking about something like 21 million people. The Democrats tried to extend the reduction of the cap to $35 a month to every insulin patient, not just Medicare. Why is that? Why did they do that? Because insulin in this country costs about 10 times more than it does in Europe or anywhere else. And they put it through. Remember, the Inflation Reduction Act got put through under the budget reconciliation. They only needed 51 votes. But to get through everything else, they needed to beat a filibuster, 60 votes. 60 votes. And you know how many votes they got? They got 57 votes. Seven Republicans joined 50 Democrats to do it, but they didn't get 10. They didn't get the other three. So everybody who thinks that Moscow Mitch is such a great guy, no, he's not a great guy at all. Moscow Mitch filibustered it. Why would you have 21 million, more than 21 million people, more than half of the insulin patients in this country, why would you have them paying hundreds of dollars a month? Many of them have very limited incomes, and they may have jobs that are not terribly high paying. And with insulin, you got to take it or your pancreas goes kaput. Your pancreas goes kaput. You don't have any choice. They easily could have extended it to private insurers as well as public insurance, which is what Medicare is. And they filibustered it, including Ron Johnson, in our state. In our state. What, he doesn't care about insulin patients in Wisconsin that aren't on Medicare? That aren't on Medicare? So 57 to 43, final vote to apply the cap on insulin to $35 a month to private insurers, to every insulin patient in the country, not just Medicare. Republicans vetoed it. That's very cruel. I mean, that's very, very cruel. And remember all the fighting on it. You had Sinema and Manchin not playing ball, and they wanted their little sweet spot things. And they basically got them for the Inflation Reduction Act itself. Yes, one of the things that Biden put through is Medicare can now negotiate prices on pharmaceuticals, which they hadn't been able to in the past. He's accomplished a lot. This guy, Biden's accomplished a lot. But this thing really sticks in my craw. Why do you sentence more than 21 million people in this country with insulin who aren't 65 to pay hundreds of dollars a month. It's just not right. It's not the right thing to do. Terrible. Going to break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Dead blood in the streets, it's up to my ankles. Blood in the streets, it's up to my knees. Blood in the streets, the town of Chicago. Blood on the rise is following me. Don't let me down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this one really killed me. You remember Fred Prehn? Remember him? Fred Prehn, the guy that stayed on the DNR board when his term expired 18 months ago? Well, come to find out, we just found out. Remember, Evers had appointed a successor, but Fred wanted to stay on for two reasons. One, he was a deciding vote on the wolf hunt that went along with these Texas and Kansas gun clubs who wanted a February wolf hunt so they could shoot pregnant wolves. DNR said, no, we don't want a February one. We don't want February. What we want is the fall. And they rammed through a February wolf hunt, one bullet, two wolves. You got a pregnant wolf, you hit. Killed two wolves. That's what these guys are all about. The second thing he wanted to stay on was there was a vote on limits on cancer chemicals, forever chemicals, PFAS. He was a deciding vote to throw out those limits. There was a lawsuit over it because there was no justification for the guy staying on 18 months after he had after his term expired. That lawsuit chewed up some time and some money. Guess how much taxpayers paid for his legal fees, Fred Prehn's? 76 grand came out of your money, my money, everybody's money. Our taxpayer dollars are a slush fund for the Republican Party. They just reach their hand into the old weasel sack, grab out some money. Fred Prehn had been in contact with people in the state Senate, Republicans, making sure he had the support to stay on. And we're paying for it? We're paying for that? That just was revealed. That is wrong. The 76 grand should be repaid by the Republican Party or Fred Prehn. The guy's a dentist up in Wausau. Bill of Oconomowoc called that in. He tracked the guy down. All right, so this guy up, this dentist in Wausau, wants to stay on for 18 months so pregnant wolves can be shot by people from Kansas and Texas. And we have cancer water making it impossible to eat some of the fish. This is very wrong. Very wrong. Go to the lines. I see you. Do not hang up. I'll get to each person on the line in order. I'm going to start with Jake of Eureka, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jake?
Hey, how's it going, man? Just speaking of corruption, I think it's about time we talk about Bakersfield, California's own local embarrassment, Kevin McCarthy, and his apparent inability to collect enough votes to become speaker. And I would like to find out exactly what he's promising, what he's using to purchase these votes to become speaker of the House. I mean, what's he doing, handing out Donald Trump NFTs? Is he buying all those Republican Congress people their very own personal Jewish space laser? I mean, what's going on? What is he giving up to try to become speaker?
Kevin McCarthy doesn't have a spine. He doesn't have any guts. He has now tried to make a deal with the people opposed to him that they wanted any member of the House to be able to force a vote on recalling the speaker during his term. He came down and said, how about five people? Yes, I'll impeach Joe Biden. He will say anything. He has no spine. He has no integrity whatsoever. And right now, there are five Republicans who say they won't vote for him, which kills it for him. But nine others wrote a letter to everybody on Sunday saying that he's just a throwback from the past. He's no good. He's weak. We got to go on. This vote will happen tomorrow. Stay tuned. It's been 100 years in the 1920s that a speaker went beyond the first ballot after the various caucuses. Before that, it was the Civil War. This guy may not make it on the first ballot, and if he doesn't, stand by. There are going to be some fireworks. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for going Western Mind today, Joe.
Well, as always, thanks for a great show and always your great callers, you know, from Mark from LaSalle, who knows about the Federalist Papers inside and out, to Jake, who just called, who just had this wonderful line in where he just said, speaking of corruption, and then said, you know, what is Mr. McCarthy holding out for? What little thing does he want? I wanted to just add, so thanks to all. I just wanted to add that you cannot talk enough about this point of people getting insulin at decent prices rather than these jacked up prices that are, you know, 10 times what they are in other countries. And I did not know, and I appreciate so much knowing that, of course, this what Joe Biden did in terms of getting a decent price, I think it's $35 rather than the hundreds that people were paying for monthly insulin. I didn't realize that didn't pertain to 21 million Americans who are not covered by Medicare, and that they were not able. But for three people in Congress, they were not able to get this so that private insurance would be under the same restrictions. One point that makes this really important is that I looked it up. Insulin is, the older insulins are, it's generic time. So the way that they're keeping this, so the point that it doesn't go generic is a process they call evergreening, where they're always tweaking it just a little bit, and that gets you a new patent, a new way to control access to this drug. And you are absolutely right that those people who are on this drug, younger people, oftentimes have very, very serious health problems and not a lot of money. And to be put at the end of the walking plank in that circumstance, as you just said, and talking about some other things this afternoon, this is wrong. It is completely wrong. You cannot bring this up enough. This is, and that our own Senator Johnson filibustered against people getting access, the 21 million people getting access, is just, again, so wrong. I thank you for bringing it up and informing us about this additional wrinkle on this situation. And again, please remind us again and again, because it is just horrendous. And I appreciate it, Mac.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Joe. Yeah, that's really a great call. And I'll tell you something. There are some medications, like, say, blood pressure. Say you don't take them. If that ain't great. You should take them, but you know it may take a while for the effects to be felt. If you don't take insulin, your pancreas is being slowly destroyed. You will die. There is no choice. So you have people. Maybe the mother's a waitress, and the father is either unemployed or he has a job. They don't make a ton of money, and they have a child, a little girl who needs insulin. They got to get that insulin. That has to be their first expenditure. And it is their first expenditure. And anybody who's 65 now, starting today on Medicare, is going to get it $35 a month. I don't know why there hasn't been an antitrust action by the Justice Department against insulin manufacturers, because somebody should be able to manufacture it with generic patents, as you say, without some of the tweaks, but it would save the pancreas and do it for fairly cheap. But they're not. They've colluded. That's exactly what they've done. It's a form of monopoly, or an oligopoly in any event. And it's very wrong. Manchin Sinema would not vote to suspend the filibuster for that one piece of legislation. Ron Johnson voted against it, and it got filibustered. Over the end of the show, great show, great callers always. Matt Flynn, director. We're back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.